Sunday. Welcome to church. We're so glad you're here. Go ahead and stand up if you can, if you want to, sing and dance and sing praises to God this morning.
There are walls between us. By the cross you came and broke them down. You broke them down. And there are chains around us. By your grace we are no longer bound. No longer bound. You called me out of the grave. You called me into the light. You called my name and then my heart came alive. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Feel the darkness shaking. All the dead are coming back to life. I'm back to life. Song awaken, all creation singing, we're alive, cause you're alive. You called me out of the grave, you called me into the light, you called my name and then my heart came alive. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. And what a love we found, death can't hold us down. We shout it out, we're alive, cause you're alive. And what a love we found, death can't hold us down. We shout it out, we're alive, cause you're alive. And what a love we found, death can't hold us down. We shout it out, we're alive, cause you're alive. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me.
Awesome job. Hopefully you're wide awake now. Thanks again for coming. Welcome to Garner Methodist. We are Journey of Grace, and we're so glad to have you guys this morning.
Chasing after this world makes me tired. Praising my own name leaves me dry. There's gotta be so much more to life than this. A higher calling that I've missed. I want my life to count every breath. I wanna live with abandon and give you all. Every part of my heart, Jesus, I place in your hand. I want to live with abandon, give you all that I am. Every part of my heart, Jesus, I place in your hand. I want to live with abandon. I'll drop everything to follow you. Ooh, ooh. so much more to life than this, a higher calling that I've missed. I want my life to count every breath. I want to live with abandon, give you all that I am, every part of my heart, Jesus, I place in your hands. I want to live with abandon, give you all that I am, every part of my heart, Jesus, I place in your hands. I'm not looking back, I'm done with that, I want to give you all I have. I'm not looking back, I'm done with that, I want to give you all. I want to live with abandon. Whoa, whoa, ooh, I want to live with abandon. Give you all that I am, every part of my heart, Jesus, I place in your hands. I want to live with abandon and give you all that I am, every part of my heart, Jesus, I place in your hands. I want to live with abandon. I wanna live with abandon.
Awesome job this morning, guys. If you have children who are third grade and below and would like to now go to children's church, they are welcome to. My kids are excited. I hope yours are. So go ahead around the back of the CLC and they can head downstairs.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free. He has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free. Me.
Give us life. You give us you every day. Your blessings, your mercy, your grace. Lord, I pray we never take that for granted, that we always consider that for what it is that we sin, we repent, we say we're sorry, you forgive, and it's done. It's over. We will forget it. You are our Father. You are love. You are for us, never against us, God. And I thank you for that. And live with that every day, that it just motivates me, and I hope it motivates others as well to just rely on your grace and your strength, Lord, in our struggles here on earth. And God, thank you so much for the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross to save all of us and to give us that opportunity. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. And if you would, say hello to your neighbor and those around you this morning. Good morning.
Okay, so here's the thing. Y'all got to be more friendly so that I have more time to get up here between the time the music stops and I'm supposed to start talking. So next week, be more friendly, walk around a little bit more, and give me a little bit more time to greet folks as well. Just a handful of announcements to you. First of all, please pass the pew registration pads down the aisle so that we have record of your attendance. And if this is your first time, we've got Scouse here today. It's exciting to have Scouse here with us today. If this is your first time worshiping with us or you haven't worshiped with us regularly, we've got some gifts for you out there at the Welcome Center. And just go out there. Somebody will be there to welcome you and just let you know how much we appreciate you being here. It's a whole gift bag right now. It's expanded. It's really cool stuff, so be sure to head out there. Another thing is that I know we get really excited here at church, and sometimes the excitement spills out into the hall after the service. What I want to encourage you to do is when you go out into the hall after service to keep it down a little bit, because I'm still preaching over there across the hall at that time, and I'm kind of selfish. I want them to hear me and not you. So if you could just, once you head out the doors, just keep it down just a little bit, that would be absolutely fantastic. An announcement I'm going to point you to over Lent. It's going to be really exciting. We're going to gather here beginning Wednesday, March 4th, and you've got this insert in your program. We're going to be gathering here for dinner. All of the services will be coming together. It'll be real exciting and a great time to join together. We'll have a meal, and then we'll have Bible studies for all ages. And you can even just use your camera. You just open your camera on your smartphone and go right there, and it will take you to the link. That's all you have to do. And you can sign up that way. If you're a dinosaur, you can fill out with pen. Speaking of dinosaurs, did y'all hear about the new dinosaur discovery Did you hear about that over the past couple of weeks? Raise your hand if you heard about the new dinosaur discovery that's a relative of T-Rex. My son's best friend made that discovery. Yeah, it was really cool. Jared Voris is the guy. Been in my house many, many times, so that means I'm just like two steps removed from a dinosaur, I think. The Global Impact Celebration starts Friday. And Friday night, we're going to get to hear two things. One is we're going to hear what happens to the shoe boxes that we collect once they leave here and actually see the impact that they have around the world. That's going to be exciting. And then our keynote speaker, you do not want to miss this guy. Every time he comes, he makes me feel bad about my preaching because he is so good. Garner's very own Sammy Hudson that leads the most amazing camp ministry in the eastern part of our state, working with under-resourced kids who, without a place like the refuge, would never be able to afford to go to camp. And Sammy is going to be here to speak Friday night. So be here for the Global Impact Celebration dinner. The tickets are $10, and somebody will be in the hall, but we're going to be quiet when we buy them. But we'll have someone at the table. It's $10 per household. So it doesn't matter if your household is 1 or 10, $10 gets you in the door Friday night. Also, and you'll continue to receive notices about this, there's a sign-up table for service opportunities. Next Saturday, we're going to reach out to our community and beyond, and you'll continue to receive some of this via email over the coming week. Got a video for you I want to show just real quickly. I just wanted to point that out just to remind you that that's what our Global Impact Celebration is all about. Yeah, there are kids that, and that's specifically one of the projects we support. So there are lives that this coming weekend changes all around the world. That's why it's so important to be here and be a part of what's going to be happening. I'm going to be reading today from John chapter 15. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And I'm going to invite you, if you aren't familiar with what we do here, you've got a study guide on the inside of your program. You can pull that out, follow along, and you'll have notes to refer back to from what we studied together today. In the Carolinas, we know the name Jerry Richardson, right? Who was Jerry Richardson? He was the original owner of the Panthers. He brought professional football to North and South Carolina. Well, it came out a few years ago that he was guilty of some pretty significant workplace violations. And he ended up, because of that, paying some pretty hefty fines and settlements. Some of it was inappropriate language and behavior toward women. On at least one occasion, it was an inappropriate racial slur toward an African-American employee of the Panthers. Well, the NFL got involved, and the NFL substantiated these allegations of misconduct, and they demanded that Richardson sell his team. He was fined $3.3 million in addition. But, of course, he got all that back because he sold the team for $2.2 billion to a guy named David Tepper. Now, despite the fact that Richardson is no longer the owner of the Panthers, the statue of Richardson at the north gate of the stadium is still there. Here's why. In the negotiations with Tepper, Richardson insisted that as part of the deal, his statue would remain up at the Bank of America Stadium. So here's the thing. Richardson gets to remain in all of his glory between the two snarling Panthers that represent North and South Carolina. Every home game, the statue essentially shines up the legacy Richardson clung to so doggedly. Now, we may not like that, but we kind of understand it, don't we? Everybody wants to leave some sort of legacy, right? You want people to say good things about you when you're gone, right? I mean, who wants to have folks standing around at their funeral saying, thank God he's finally gone? I mean, we all want our lives to make an impact. Well, here's the thing. That's also what God wants. God wants for your life to have an impact, and not just an impact, but an impact that will go on beyond your time here on this earth. So there in your introduction, here's what Jesus says that he wants for his followers. Number one, Jesus wants our lives to bear fruit. In other words, he wants every one of us to add value to this world. Number two, Jesus wants our lives to bear much fruit. In other words, Jesus' desire is that we might add significant value to the world. And finally, Jesus wants our lives to bear fruit that will last. He wants us to have an impact on the world that will go on beyond the time that we live here. Now, this is the way it's always been. You go all the way back to the creation story. And God has always intended that our lives should have meaning and purpose. When God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they were in paradise. But paradise included work. Paradise included purpose. Well, what we read is that God entrusted Adam and Eve with the Garden of Eden, and this is what it says. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. What happened, of course, is that Adam and Eve sinned. They rebelled against God, And when that relationship with God was broken, everything fell apart. Everything collapsed. But this theme continues. Number two, God intended for Israel to share in God's mission in the world. From the very beginning of Israel, from the moment, the very first moment that God spoke to Abraham, it was for the purpose of giving Israel something significant to do in this world. In his first conversation with Abraham, God said that the purpose was this: all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, God keeps circling around throughout the Old Testament to remind Israel of this. Over and over again, the prophets call Israel back to their original purpose. In Isaiah, we read this: I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. Now, another image, and this is the image that Jesus draws upon today, another image that represents Israel is the image of the grapevine. In fact, the grapevine came to be a nationalistic symbol that represented Israel, much the same way that when you see a bald eagle, you know that that's a representation of the United States of America. In fact, above the temple, they had carved an image of a grapevine and covered it in gold. In Isaiah, God addresses the nation in this language. God asked, what more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? You see, God had tremendous plans for Israel, tremendous visions. What he envisioned was this: the nations around Israel followed pagan gods, and there were horrible practices that went along with that. Part of their religious practices involved cultic prostitution, where they would commit acts of prostitution as a way to try to win their God's favor. It got even worse than that. These gods were capricious and would demand child sacrifice. Well, God wanted Israel to live in relationship with him in such a way that the other nations would look and they would see how good and how loving and how great and how caring the God of Israel was, and they would be drawn away from this pagan worship into the worship of the one true God. That was the fruit Israel was to bear. But what happened is Israel went the other way. Rather than influencing the other nations to worship the one true God, Israel became influenced by the other nations, and over again they ran after their gods. And so throughout the course of Israel's history, you see the prophets calling them to come back to God, to stop exploiting the poor, to live the way that God called them to live. And you see Israel continuing to slip into these practices of not caring, of not loving, of not being just, and in fact of engaging in things like temple prostitution. And even going so far as Israel began to participate in child sacrifice. So the point there was that they did horrible things. They turned away from God, and when they did that, they lost their very purpose for existence. Now, God wasn't finished, and so Jesus came. And number three, Jesus claims that it is only through him that we can bear fruit. In other words, it's in a relationship with Jesus that our lives can fulfill the purpose for which we were created. So remember, we're in the study, and this is the last week of the study of the great I Am statements. And so let's just remind ourselves what all of this means. Letter A, Jesus repeatedly claims to be God. That's happening again in today's passage. And here's how that unfolded. In Exodus chapter 3, when God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, he revealed his name and he told him what? My name is what? I am who I am. It's kind of a strange name, but God gets to have whatever name God wants, so we're not going to argue with him. Around the 3rd century B.C., they began to translate the Hebrew scriptures into Greek to make it more accessible to the known world. The term I am was translated with two Greek words, ego eimi. Both words literally mean I am. So literally it says, I am, I am. And that's the language that Jesus uses throughout the Gospel of John. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. And so when he used that particular construction of Greek verbs, everybody knew what he was saying. He was claiming to be the I am of the Old Testament. He was saying emphatically, unmistakably, and repeatedly that he is the same God that spoke out of the burning bush to Moses. That's why people got upset with him. That's why the religious leaders wanted to kill him, because he claimed to be God, and if he's God, then he's the creator of life and the source of life. So along with that, then, letter B, our lives have meaning only in relationship with Jesus. And again, we see that all the way throughout Scripture. Adam and Eve's lives were full of purpose as long as they stayed close to God. When they rebelled against God, their life fell apart, their purpose evaporated. Israel could have fulfilled God's purpose that he created her for, but Israel turned against God. But here's what's happening here. When Jesus says, I am the true vine, when he tells us that if we abide in him, we will bear fruit, much fruit, and fruit that will last, here's what he's saying. He's saying, I am the God who offered life and purpose to Adam and Eve. I am the God who offered life and purpose to the nation of Israel, and I am the same God offering the same thing to you right here, right now. I am the source, not just of your life, but of the meaning and purpose of your life. Now, here's what we have to do in response to that. It's very, very simple. Number three, the command of Jesus is abide in me. The image is very clear, even if you're not very good with horticulture or gardening. We exist as branches that grow out of the vine. Now, if the branch is separated from the vine, like a lot of branches in my backyard that I need to pick up, then the branch is dead. The branch has nothing to offer. The branch is not going to bear fruit. The branch is only good as long as it's connected to the vine. And Jesus is saying the same thing, that our lives are only going to have meaning and purposeful impact if we stay connected to our Creator. Now, how do we do that? Letter A, abiding in Christ starts with pursuing intimacy with Christ. Now, this is one of the fascinating things that we learn throughout Scripture. We are told that we can actually know God. We can know Him. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and what? My sheep know me. That theme runs all the way throughout Scripture. In Psalm 46:10, God says, be still and what? And know that I am God. In Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Now, here's the mistake that we make. We read this passage about bearing fruit, and we look at our lives and we think, oh my goodness, I'm not really measuring up too good with this. You know, I don't see a lot of fruit coming out of my life, so maybe I really need to get busy. Maybe I need to start volunteering more at church. I need to work harder. I need to produce something of value. And the focus there becomes what? I. What I need to produce. Now, I'll be honest with you, that's one of the great struggles that I have had in ministry. I mean, try to think about this from my perspective for just a moment. I get paid to work for God, right? So I stand up here and I encourage you folks to open your Bibles and study Scripture. Well, you know what? That's my job. I have to do that. If I don't do that, then I'm going to look really, really dumb on Sunday mornings, right? So that's my job, is to work for God. So for me, I can get so caught up in the activities of working for God that I miss the most important thing. I've had seasons in my life where when I have pulled the lens back and examined it, I've realized that, my goodness, I'm a much better employee of God than I am a child of God. I'm a lot better at working for God than I am at fellowshipping with God. And I can get caught up in that. I can get caught up in the busyness of what I seem to do and what I have to do, to where God becomes much more like my boss than my dad. Now, sometimes church folks have that same experience. We can get so caught up in I'm doing this activity and that activity that we fail to step back and realize that if I'm not doing this out of a relationship with Jesus, if the relationship isn't the starting point, then this is just going to fry me. I'm going to burn out because I don't have the life within myself to maintain it. You see, here's what God wants. If you want to walk out of here knowing what God wants today, here's what God wants first and foremost. God wants your heart, okay? He doesn't need any more employees, okay? What he wants and what he died for was for your heart. You see, if he gets your heart, then the rest of it's going to happen anyway. The rest of it's going to flow naturally. God wants your heart. I mean, if he just wanted folks that could get things done for him, you know, he would just go after the best and the brightest and the wealthiest, wouldn't he? He wouldn't waste time on too many of us. God wants your heart. Letter B, accept pruning. Jesus says this, "The gardener cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." Now, here's what Jesus is telling us. God is constantly pruning us for our own good so that we can be more fruitful. Now, we don't like that process. It's painful at times, but it's necessary to be all that God has called us to be. Have any of you ever tended a grapevine? Anybody? Okay, not too many. How about tomatoes? A lot of you folks have grown tomatoes, right? Well, here's one of the things you have to do with tomatoes. You have to routinely pop the suckers off of the vine, right? And those suckers are those new little branches that sprout between the vine and the branches that are bearing fruit. Now, here's why they're a problem. Those little suckers start coming out, and they don't produce tomatoes. All they do is produce leaves. The problem with that is that these leaves, who give you absolutely no value at all, suck away the nutrition and the life from the branches that do produce tomatoes. So you have to get rid of those suckers if you want the vine to be as fruitful as it needs to be. So God looks down at us and he says, "Okay, suckers, I got to get rid of some suckers in your life." And what he's trying to do is he's trying to address those things that suck away our spiritual life and our vitality. God's saying, "I want to remove these things, not because it's going to hurt, but I want to remove these things so that I can make your lives more meaningful and more abundant." Now, I'm going to touch on just a couple of ways that God's going to do that. Number one, God will prune our lives in our areas of disobedience. Now, sometimes these are moral characters or moral traits or character flaws that God wants to address, moral issues in our lives. And you know, I don't think I need to go over the serious ones. Yeah, I mean, if you're involved with sexual immorality or you're embezzling money at work, something of that nature, you just know that's wrong, okay? You know that's wrong. But you see, God even wants to go after the small suckers that we maybe don't pay too much attention to. Maybe that nagging bitterness that's secretly stashed away in your heart, maybe that's the sucker that God wants to pull away because it's draining your life. Now, this is none of you. None of you have a tendency to become passive-aggressive if something doesn't go your way. Nobody in this room does that, right? So maybe that's a sucker, my friend. And you know, I look out here, none of you gossip. None of you say things about other folks that you shouldn't say, right? None of you have a judgmental attitude toward others, right? Come on, folks. We can pretend. But those are suckers that God wants to remove for our own good. They rob us of the life that God wants us to experience. They will drain us if we allow them to remain. In one of my previous churches, there was a woman, and she was quite remarkably gifted in a number of ways. She really was. And in a number of ways, was just a very delightful person. But she had one issue. She was big-mouthed. Okay? That's the way one of my African friends described somebody once, big-mouthed. So she just couldn't stop. And she would say things and get people stirred up. And finally, it reached a point of where I knew that I had to have a conversation with this woman, and I was her friend as well as her pastor, and I anticipated it would go well, and it didn't. And she became angry. She got upset. She was kind of the dominant one in the family, and so that was the last time that we saw them in church. She took our whole family, and they went somewhere else. And what I had hoped was that she would say yes. That this is an area I struggle with. Yes, I can make room for God to do something better in my life. But instead, she pulled up stakes and they went somewhere else and came back around to me. There were more problems later. But you know what? I've got suckers in my own life. You've got suckers in your life. No matter how large or seemingly small and insignificant, we have areas where we are allowing suckers to grow. We have to choose to allow God to remove those. God will address those areas in our lives where we are in disobedience. But there's another area where God desires to prune us. And you need to listen real carefully to this one. This is probably an even more significant area for most of us. Number two, God will prune our lives of distractions. God will prune our lives of distractions. Now, these are things that in and of themselves are not necessarily wrong, but they may distract us from our relationship with Jesus. Part of the American dream is that you can have it all, right? That's part of the American dream. Well, Jesus tells us something different. Jesus says you can have an abundant life, but you can't have it all. So we've got that conflict. And you know, social media has made it so much worse. It really has. There's one of the fascinating phobias that's been identified in the age of social media is something called the fear of missing out. Have you heard of that? Well, you're going to be educated today. There are a couple of German universities actually that studied this, and they found that people that spent significant amount of time on social media actually had more negative feelings than people who didn't. Here's why. You're sitting at home on Saturday afternoon, and you're just having a pleasant, relaxed afternoon. You're doing fine. Everything's good. Sun's shining. Birds are chirping. And you click on the social media, and you see that one set of neighbors is at the beach, and the other set of neighbors are in the mountains, and they're posting these really cool pictures, and you realize suddenly, I'm not having so much fun after all. It's a real thing. It really is. And so what happens then is we begin to have these negative feelings that we're not getting as much out of life as we should be getting out of life. You know, it used to be that before social media, we didn't know what our friends were up to, right? Unless they told us kind of face-to-face. I mean, I'm from the dinosaur era where you didn't even have answering machines for a while, if you can imagine. So, you know, one click and we know all of the things in life that we're missing out on. And the temptation becomes to cram more stuff into our lives. Now, here's what I want you to understand. There in your notes, the crowded life eventually crowds God out. Are you with me? The crowded life eventually crowds God out. All of these suckers just spring up all over the vine. And God gets crowded out, and the fruit withers. Our lives are drained of the abundance that Christ has for us. Now, I'm going to leave you with three things today, three steps to fruitfulness. Here's the thing. It focuses on our relationship with God. We get that in order. Everything else comes along. Everything else falls in place. And so it starts here. Number one, invite God every day to search your heart. And, you know, it's just simple. God, where sometimes talking is hard. God, where are there distractions in my life that are pulling me away from you? God, where is there disobedience in my life that's damaging my relationship? I mean, the psalmist prayed that. The psalmist said, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The second thing, step number two, is spend time with God every day. And if you haven't gotten into that habit yet, you don't have to overwhelm yourself. Here's what I did at age 16 that transformed my life after I'd given my life back to Christ. And it was so simple. I kept my Bible by my bed. And every morning I would read one chapter from the New Testament before I got out of bed. And every night, one chapter of the New Testament before I turned out my light. 4 minutes at the beginning of the day, 4 minutes at the end of the day, and I had bookended my day with God. And you know what? It's gotten so much easier. You don't even need a paper Bible. You don't need to flip switches on the wall. It's right here, right? We have our Bibles in our hands at all times. So spend time daily with God. And finally, number three, make room for what matters most. We make room for so many things and leave out the things that at times matters most. We've got something that matters a lot next weekend, the Global Impact Celebration, where we're going to remind ourselves of the things that we've been involved with, the ministries that we're supporting. I'll tell you why I showed the IJM video. That thing's about 2 years old. Last week, I received notice from IJM, International Justice Mission, that very project in Ghana that we support rescued three more children at the end of January from slavery on Lake Volta. The boys were ages 9 through 12. We are there. We are a part of that. Our giving to IJM goes to the work in Ghana. And if you can't get excited about knowing that there are three little boys that today are no longer slaves because we were a part of that, then I tell you what, you got some big distractions in your life. So be here to celebrate what God is doing. That's His heart for us. Fruit. And fruit that's extending across the globe. And the other thing that I want to invite you to be a part of is our journey to the cross over Lent. You've got the handout, and it's so easy. We made it so easy, you don't even have to fill anything out. Just use your camera and be a part of this. You know what? This is following Christ to the cross. There's no more important place for us to be than engaging with what the cross means over the season of Lent. So I encourage you to make that a priority. It's not going to offend me if you start taking out your phones right now and taking a picture of that. But you know what? Here's the reality. The disciples bore so much fruit, and we're part of that fruit. They weren't that smart. They weren't that skilled in business. They weren't very educated. But in your notes there, you see what they were. They were men who had been with Jesus. And when our lives are centered in Jesus, we are going to make a difference. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, I'm going to invite Ryan Lurch to come forward. And, you know, I took a picture of his name tag before the service because one of the deficits I have in life is names disappear. You know, I look at my wife sometimes, and I have to call her honey because I can't remember her name. That's stretching it a little bit. But Ryan is the head of our Boy Scout troop, and we just are so happy to have the Scouts here with us. And any of you Scouting families, if you don't have a church home, you need to be here. This is just a great church body. Ryan, I'm going to invite you to come forward and say a word to the congregation. Thank you for being with us.
Hello. Okay. I'm Ryan Lurch. I am the Cub Master of the Pack 391, and this is Susan Barnes, and she is the Scout Master of Troop 391. So she's upstairs. I'm downstairs. On Monday nights, we both meet. We meet at 7. I think you guys meet at 7, 8:30. We are very happy to continue the tradition of scouting at Garner United Methodist Church. And we help with service projects when the church asks us to. We also do some, we have hike clubs. We do camping. We do a lot of activities. We're very, very busy with the scouting schedule. So if you have any boys that are interested, we would love to have you. We're here Monday nights, and we start at 7 o'clock downstairs. And anybody from PAC 391, could you guys stand up? Great. And if you're with Troop 391, could you stand up? Great. Thank you, guys. And I'm going to hand it off to Ms. Susan.
All right. So I think you said it well. So yes, we do focus on building character for the boys, teaching them leadership skills. The pack goes from kindergarten through fifth grade. Our troop goes from sixth grade up, so ages 11 to 17. They can join any time. They don't have to be a scout from the beginning. They can join at any point in their lives and catch up. We have a lot of scouts that do that, and it really improves their life and their skills. And like Ryan said, we do focus on our duty to God. We do service projects with the church and with the community. And we do lots of adventures. We go camping about every month, and we do a big summer camp in the Boy Scouts do a summer camp in July. This year we're going to Camp Daniel Boone in just west of Asheville for a week. So, and in order for the boys to do these programs, we also do a lot of fundraising. So in the fall, you've seen us sell popcorn, but we also do some fundraisers along the way. And if you've seen in your bulletin the last few weeks, we have a pancake dinner coming up that the troop is running. It's on Shrove Tuesday, February 25th, so you're all welcome. Please come support our troop. In order to raise money so that our boys can go camping and go to camps and do all the fun stuff that they do. But we appreciate it, all the support from the church, and we are here to serve you as well. So thank you very much.
Didn't ask before this time if we have some couple volunteers to help us with the tithe and offering baskets this morning. That would be great. And as those baskets pass around, as Greg said, just think about just the wonderful things our gifts and offerings are doing, not even here just locally, but around the world. Every dollar makes a difference. Thank you, guys. Every step I collide with you. Love for us, that you chase us down wherever we are, God. You find us in those places of darkness and help us to come back to the light, God. And we just pray that you will help us to take those three steps that Greg challenged us to take today, that we will invite you into our hearts and to search our hearts every day for those distractions, those things that are keeping us away from you, God. We also pray that you will just help us to spend time in your word every day, whether it's a few minutes in the morning or a few minutes at night, just reading the amazing words and the guidance you've given us. And God, we just make room for what matters most in our lives, and that's our relationship with you, spending time with you and leading lives that you will be proud of, God. And just help us to make that fruit, make the good fruit, the fruit that lasts for a long time. And God, help us to pray every day the prayer that you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Make sure you check out the GIC tables quietly out in the lobby. And we will see you guys on Friday. Have a wonderful day. We don't have to move chairs, so just enjoy your Sunday. Thank you.
So I may do. There's one on pure fun.
Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love is greater, your love is stronger.
on Sunday.
Okay. How much is it?